my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, Romans, the first chapter and the 17th verse, talking from the subject, moving forward in faith, moving forward in faith. If you've never heard a lesson on faith before or really never understood what it is, or maybe you're just new to our church and just getting here, faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. Of course, we understand salvation is the most important subject. I need to know and clearly understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have an everlasting life. But once I'm saved, I'm saved. I now need to learn how to walk this Christian life out. So Romans 1 and 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how, class? By faith. So the just, we live by faith. I want you to remember that. We live by faith, all right? Now I have a dual text, 1 John 5 and 4. 1 John 5 and 4. So that was Romans 1 and 17. Now 1 John 5 and 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Watch this now. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the writer here in 1 John is teaching us that it is my faith that's going to cause me to overcome. It is my faith that's going to cause me to triumph. It is my faith that's going to cause me to win in life. So Romans 1 and 17 says that the just shall live by faith. So we understand that we live by faith. And then 1 John 5 and 4 teaches us that we win by faith. So everybody with a strong voice say, I live by faith, and I win by faith. Something to understand about faith is that your faith will produce whatever you require, but what you tolerate will not change. You got it? Your faith will produce what you require, but what you tolerate will not change. And so that is why it is important that I understand the word of God and understand how faith works so I can apply it in my life. That way, if there are situations that I say, no, that is not supposed to be there in my life, I use my faith, I use the word of God, and I begin to change things in my life. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a faith refresher. This is very important. Some of my members that have been with me for a while, this will be a good refresher for you, but thank the Lord, our church is growing. Every week we have people joining. Every week we have people giving their life to Christ. That's a good place to clap right there. Every week we just have all kind of things going on. And so my thing is, I want to make sure as the pastor that I teach them faith the way I have taught you faith, because I want everybody to be able to apply their faith so that they can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of their life. And so I want to give you four things to understand about faith, four things to understand about faith. The first thing we need to understand is that faith comes how, class? By hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I don't have all the scriptures for these. I have them in my heart, so I'll give you the proof text, but they're not up there. Romans 10 and 17 is our proof text for that statement. Faith, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. And that is why you need to hear the word, and you need to hear the word of faith on a consistent basis. That's why I tell people the church you go to and the word you hear, it does make a difference. Being in an environment of faith, around people of faith, will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. So it is the will of God that when you walk out of here today, that you had even more, that you were increased with faith and have more faith than when you walked in here. And it doesn't mean you didn't have any when you walked in here, but you just got another boost of faith because you heard another word, and faith cometh by hearing. Does that make sense? But when I received this faith, you got it, and I've got it on the inside of me, there's something that I have, well, there's a few things that I have to do with it. So number one, faith comes by hearing. Well, watch this. Number two, faith is released how? By the words of our mouth. Faith is released by the words of our mouth. Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 22 and 24 would be the proof text for that. He says, whoever can say into this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, that he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, what is the mountain? The mountain is the challenge. The mountain is the thing that, the obstacle in the way. The mountain is the trial that you're going through. The Bible tells us that we have to talk to those things. You got it? That, you know, when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights being tempted of the devil, devil. You remember the devil would show up and say, I'll give you this if you do this, and I'll give you this if you bow down. Jesus would always come back at him with the word. He would say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written that thou shalt have no other God before us. And Jesus is our prime example that when the enemy shows up to try to come or tempt you or come against you, you always come at him with the word, because it is the word of God that's going to cause you to prevail over anything that comes against you. So faith comes by hearing, but it is released by the words of my mouth. I've got to speak to the mountain. You got it? I've got to declare some things in my life. I've got to declare some things that I want in my life. You got it? When I wake up every day, I mean, I just have my way of doing things. Everybody does. But when I wake up, Father, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Today, I thank you for peace and prosperity. I thank you for nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. Father, I thank you that your favor is surrounding me as a shield. And the first thing that people come into contact with is my favor shield. That all day long, people go out of their way to bless me and to help me. What are you doing? I'm commanding my day with the words of my mouth. And so you have to learn how to do that. So faith comes by hearing, but it is released by the words of our mouth. All right, number three. Everybody say number three. Here's a big one. Faith works how?
By love.
Woo! So that means I have to love people. Can I go a little further?
Yes,
I have to love everybody. Everybody. You got it? Now, no, don't look at your neighbor. So I have to love everybody. You got it? Sometimes it's good to look at your neighbor. Sometimes it's not good to look at your neighbor. And so I have to love everybody because love is the motivator, but faith is the activator. So everything I do has to be motivated by love. You got it? Everything I do has to be motivated by love. And so the Bible teaches us in Galatians 5 and 6 would be the proof text for that, that faith, it only works by love. So because let me help you why. Because God loves everybody, even the people you don't like. I know that's tough, but God loves everybody, even the people you don't like. Just imagine it's getting warm and you want to have a barbecue at your house. And you're going to have a barbecue and you start thinking about all the people you're going to invite. Oh, yeah, I'm going to invite her and I'm going to invite him and I'm going to invite her. And then that name comes, you say, oh, no, I'm not going to invite her. Well, see, God loves everybody, even the people that you don't like. So we, even if you don't invite them to your barbecue, how many know that you have to love them? Amen. So one, faith comes by hearing. Two, faith is released by the words of our mouth. Three, faith works by love. And then number four, faith is manifested by my actions. Faith is manifested by my actions. James 2 and 20 would be the proof text for that, which teaches us that faith without works is dead being alone. Faith without works is dead being alone. Faith is an action word. You got it? When a simple definition for faith is acting on what we believe. And as people of God, we believe the word of God. So we have to act on the word of God if we're going to see it manifest in our lives. All right. So thank you. So let's continue to kind of talk. I feel a strong teaching anointing on me just for faith. And I really want to make sure that everybody knows, you know, gets to the same point. And so that is why I'm really taking my time. So that way, if this is your first time and you never heard about faith, once you walk out of here, you're going to have a good idea of how to live this life of faith out. And the wonderful thing is this afternoon, we're going to put this on our website, WLCConline.com. And anything we teach is on there absolutely free. So you can hear the word over and over and over and over. Well, Pastor, couldn't you sell it? I could, but I'd rather give it away. All right. Faith is a two-sided coin. You have acting on one side, you have believing on the other, but believing is key. Everybody say believing is key. Mark 9:23 teaches us, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe that some things are possible to him. Okay, shoot me down when I'm not teaching right. That's right. The Bible does not say some things, does it? Okay, let me ask again. The Bible does not say some things, does it? So why do we sometimes only believe some things and not all things? Because if we're not careful, the way our mind works is we will believe for the smaller things that we feel that we could kind of help God out with. Because that, yeah, I can kind of see that's possible because I can kind of, you know, I can kind of, but how many know God doesn't need our help? So I don't have to just learn to believe for the little things. I can believe for the big things because I serve a big God that can do anything but fail. Does that make sense? And so you have to learn how to believe, because anytime I step out on faith, it's not based on my ability. It's based on God's ability. So even though I'm not able, it's okay because God is. All right? And so he says, all things are possible to him that believe. Now, believing is totally, biblical believing is totally different from secular believing. You got, say, believing God's way. You might remember Romans 10 and 9, that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And so you got, say, believing God's way, which is secular believing, and biblical believing is a little bit different. All right? Let's kind of go down this route. How many in the room believe in God? Hands go up. How many ever seen him with your physical eyes? Hands go down. Praise the Lord. All right. How many believe in heaven? Hands go up. However many with your physical body been to heaven, hands go down. All right. How many believe that if you're saved, because you're saved, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many ever seen the book? All right. Let me show you something. You got to get this. You put your trust in a God that you've never seen to take you to a place that you've never been. And because you've given your life to Christ, you believe that your name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which shows you that you already know how to believe God's way. But this is the key. Before you shout, you have to learn how to take. Because listen, if you're saved, you believe heaven belongs to you, right? Because if somebody comes and knocks on your door this afternoon and you open up and say, hey, how you doing? Can I help you? And they say, I just want to talk to you about salvation. And you say, oh, actually, you know, I appreciate it. Praise God. God bless you. I'm actually saved. You know, and you know, do you think you're going to heaven? Oh, absolutely. Well, I just wanted you to know that actually you don't go to heaven, you know, once you get saved. You would immediately change from a smile to like, hold on, stop, wait a minute. You understand what I'm saying? Right. Because you're not going to let anybody talk you out of your salvation because you already know what the Word of God says as it relates to your salvation. Am I right about it? So you already know how to believe God's way. You already have faith that heaven belongs to you. You take that same biblical believing as it relates to salvation and you use it for your marriage, for your children, for your finances, for your business, for every area of life. Does that make sense? Yeah, all right? And so biblical believing is not mental assent to sense realm possibilities. We call that reasoning on tiptoes. Like, if I can see it, I'll believe it. No, it is the ability to accept God's word as fact, even though I don't have any sense realm evidence. So I'm going through a situation, I'm going through a challenge, and I haven't seen the way made yet, but it's okay because I already believe God's going to make a way. So my confession is that the way is already made, even though I have not yet seen the way made. Does that make sense? Okay, hopefully you can get this because faith causes you to see what you can't see. Does that make sense? All right. So it is having a confident assurance without having intimidation from the sense realm. So I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe, and I believe the word of God. All right? So it is the lack of believing. What did I just say? The lack of believing that will hinder God's ability in your life. That's what hinders God's ability in your life. You got it? It is the lack of believing that hinders God. Well, I just always say it's the devil that hinders. No, because the devil has no power over you. You got it? So it is the lack of me believing that God is able to supersede any attack from the enemy. You got it? It is, you know, because if I don't believe he's able to do it, then he's not able to do it. It's not because he's not able to do it. It's because I have not released my faith. And when I don't release my faith, his hands are tied. But the moment I release my faith, God is now able to move on my behalf. Am I making any sense? Mark the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. And he, talking about Jesus, could there do no mighty work save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Watch this class. And he marveled because of their what?
Unbelief.
Because of their what?
Unbelief.
So the Bible says that he marveled because of their unbelief. Could I take another word, marvel, and I almost believe that he was like, almost shocked because of their unbelief. Almost kind of questioned, like, what in the world is going on? He marveled because of their unbelief. Watch this. But watch what Jesus did. And he went around about the villages doing what?
Teaching.
So you notice that this environment that they were in, that, you know, they were in unbelief. Jesus didn't go around fussing. He didn't go around saying, what's wrong with y'all? You know, that kind of thing. The Bible says that he went about teaching. You got it? We see through Scripture that Jesus went about preaching and teaching at different times. Preaching brings inspiration, and we need to be inspired. But teaching, which there's too little of in the body of Christ, brings information and understanding. And it's, watch this, and it's understanding that takes away fear. All right? Everybody say, it's understanding that takes away fear. So watch this now. So now if I go to the doctor and he gives me a bad report, watch this, I don't have to get in fear. I don't have to get upset because I've already been taught, and I now have an understanding that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I'm already healed. So I am not, watch this, I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness and disease. And so now if I get a bad report, no problem. You understand? I need to get the information on it. I don't mind taking a surgery. I don't mind taking some pills. But at the end of the day, I declare that I am already healed. So I will do that. But I'm doing that in concert with my faith. You got it? So every morning I got to pop the pill. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, I am healed. And so now I'm not in fear. I'm not calling somebody saying, hey man, call everybody because I'm about to die. You understand what I'm saying? Because fear will make you think, oh man, I'm going ahead of myself. Is it okay if I go? See, fear will cause you to appraise the possibility of losing when you haven't lost. You went in to the doctor and felt fine. There was nothing wrong with you at all. And all because he said out of his mouth, I see something. And you got it? And then he started asking, well, do you feel this way? And do you feel this way? And you're like, no, I feel fine. But because if you're not careful, the enemy will start trying to like with his deceiving ways, shoot these different thoughts. Well, you know, your head does feel a little funny. You're starting to feel your head doesn't, and you do feel a little queasy. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. It is just a fiery dart from the wicked one. So the writer says you got to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you, I got to calm down. Let me tell you why you don't have to be in fear in the doctor's office, okay? Number one, he is your healer, you understand? And you know that he will heal you, you got it? But even if the devil did try to just convince you you was going to die, do you not know that as a believer, there is still no fear? Because to close my eyes here on earth is to open my eyes in heaven. I win either way. So I tell the devil, I ain't going nowhere, but you act like it's a bad thing. I mean, I plan on being around for a long time. You got it? 97 is my number. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if God want to add anything to it, he can add anything to it. But I'm brother man going to be around till he's 97. Yeah. Yeah, that's just, you know, I'm just, you come up with your number. That's what I've been confessing and declaring. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know. That's where my faith is. Yeah. Well, Pastor, I want to live to 110. Well, that's you. 97, I'm going to be ready to see Jesus. Watch this. The scripture, put up the scripture. Watch what the scripture says. And he marveled, matter of fact, is that the beginning of it? Five. Put up five. There we go. And he, watch this. And he could there do no mighty works? And he could there do no mighty works? The scripture did not say that he would not. It said that he could not. There are some things that God cannot do for you until you believe. Does that make sense? Okay, all right. Oh, man, I got to go. If I had time, I would explain that how we have these flawed criteria. You got it? Everybody say flawed criteria. And it is the flawed criteria that keep us from experiencing the promises of God in our life. A flawed criteria says, because I don't have a college education, I cannot be successful. The Bible doesn't say you have to have, and I push education, you understand that, but the Bible does not say that you have to, you know, have to have a college education to be successful. The Bible says, for the believer, he says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the Amplified, it says, to the full, till it overflows. So when I come to Christ and I become alive to Christ, I become alive to all of who he is and everything that he has. And so if I right here, right now, do not have an education, a college education, it does not exempt me from all of the promises of God in my life, because all the promises of God are yes and amen. So I don't have a flawed criteria, you understand? Because watch this, because success for me is not based on, oh man, this is so good. Success for me is not based on college degree. Although if you could get a degree, get one. So I'm not knocking it, but it's not based on that for me. You got it? Joshua was, Moses had died, and all the scripture comes up and it says, they call for Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. And he begins to talk to them. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it therein day and night to do according to all that is written therein. Turn not from it from the left. Turn not from it for the right. You know, he's giving him these instructions, and he says that you may make your way prosperous and that you might have good success. So prosperity and success for me, watch this now, is not necessarily tied into a degree. It is not necessarily tied into a job. It is tied into my faith in the Word of God that he says in 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So John 10 and 10 says he wants me to live abundant life. 3 John 2 says he wants me to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And don't believe people that lie to you and say, oh, that just means that he wants you to be happy and full of joy. No, you didn't read the scripture. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, got it, that's material, and be in health, that's my body, even as your soul, your mind, your will, your imagination, your emotion, and your intellect, the joy, the peace. He wants you to prosper in every area of your life. That's good teaching right there. That's just good teaching. No, because people would try to trip you up. You got it? And it's, what that scripture mean? That they just want you to be joy. He wants me to have joy, but He wants me to have joy, but he wants me to pay my bills too. He wants me to have joy, but he wants me to have plenty more so I can be a blessing to somebody else. He wants me to have joy, but he wants me to have enough so I can save for later. He wants me to have joy, but he wants me to have enough so I can go on vacation, not just one time a year, but two times a year. See, you've been believing for once a year, and that's good, but you need to up your faith and start believing that I can go on two trips a year. Jesus. So you'll never, hear me now, are y'all getting something out of this? You'll never really prosper in life until you make the decision in your mind that prosperity is the will of God for you. Because there will be people that see other people doing good, and they'll be happy for them. They're like, oh, that's so good. And, you know, God is blessing them, you know, and boy, God blessed them big time. And somebody said, well, God could do the same thing for you. You start backing up. No. God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. So why can God not do the same thing for you that he did for somebody else? So it's good that you're rejoicing for them and rejoicing for them and rejoicing for them, because we readily recognize that if God is blessing my neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. But don't back up in your rejoicing. Step up in your rejoicing and say, I'm the one that's next in line for God to do something amazing in my life. All right? So don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. All right? He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Most people, the reason they have an issue when you hear the word prosperous or prosperity or those kind of things is a couple reasons. Number one, somebody taught them wrong. You got it. Number two, somebody taught them wrong. And number three, somebody taught them wrong. All right. And so when you begin to understand prosperity, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the total package of nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken in your life. So although it does have something to do with making sure that you have enough money, because God wants you to have enough money, but he wants you to have enough joy. He wants your body to be healed. He wants your marriage to be good. He wants your children to do well. You understand? He wants everything to be flowing the right way in your life, and you've got to realize and believe that it's possible for everything to be flowing right in your life, even if everything is not flowing right now in your life. You got to get in faith, stay in faith, confess the word, and keep confessing the word, because if you believe it's possible. If you believe it's possible, all right? Because, you know, if prosperity was all just about money, then what happens if you have a bank full of money but you're in the bed sick? You couldn't spend it, right? So it's more than that. It's not just money. You got it. It's health. It's good relationships. You know, what good is it to have a bunch of money and you have a bad marriage?
right? So you wake up in the morning, and y'all both get up and say, okay, let's go shopping. And y'all can get an agreement on that. You understand what I mean? We are going to go shopping. And so y'all get up. Everything is good, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you're about to come drive out of the driveway. Well, where do you want to go? I don't care. I'll go wherever you want to go. Okay, well, that's good. Let's go to Wilmington. Well, why do you want to go to Wilmington? Well, because you said it didn't matter. Yeah, but I just thought you would understand that Raleigh has much better shopping than Wilmington. And I just, okay, well, I'll go to Raleigh if you want. No, if you want to go to Wilmington, just go to Wilmington. Now, I just don't understand. Baby, we are going. No, I don't want to go. And see, now you are starting to aggravate me. Oh, I'm aggravating you? Well, you could just take me on right back to the house because I don't want to be with anybody that I'm aggravating all day long. You understand what I'm saying? So God says, I want you to have the whole package. I want you to have the money, but I want you to have the right relationships. I want your kids to be right. I want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart and mind through Christ. I want you to enjoy it all. And it's possible if you believe. All right. Praise the Lord. Don't look at your spouse right now. Praise the Lord. Can I just be honest with you? You know, as good as we put on a good show, and we should put on a good, I say good show, but you understand, you know, everybody, if you've been married long enough, you've had some kind of talk like that. Can I just be real honest with you? I know we like to come into the house of the Lord, and how you doing? I'm just blessed of the Lord and highly favored and head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, never had a problem in my life. Yeah, that's good. But as long as you're living in this carnal body, I'm going to say something that's going to make her mad one time, and she's going to say something that's going to make me mad one time, and it doesn't make her or me bad. But, watch this now, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. So now what happens is I have to, when I'm in, why am I going this route? When I'm in a situation like this, you got it? When we're at odds and we are disagreeing and those kind of things, watch this, I can't go to the devil level. I can't let the enemy start talking to me. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, because that's what the devil does. You understand? And the devil, watch this, you don't realize that he's on both sides. So she's talking, and the devil's over there talking to you. Oh, so are you going to let her talk to you like that? Does she not know what you go through? Does she not know that you work a little bit extra and you bought her something nice for her birthday? You understand? What? You ought to tell her she just need to back up. That's what you are. Are you a man? If you're a man, you'll tell her you need to back up. And the next thing you know, you better back up. And she over here talking about, like, can you believe he just talked to you like that? Does he know what you go through? Does he know how much it takes? Because you work a job and take care of the house and you cook for something. Yeah, and he's going to tell you to back off. You better let him know you ain't my daddy. Are you a strong woman? Are you not a strong woman? And then all of a sudden she said, you ain't my daddy. And he said, oh, I cannot believe she said that to you. You understand what I mean? And the devil's going round and round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. But somebody's got to stop and say, no, we're going to kick the devil up out of here. How does that work? If that just means something, in the early days, you got it? When my wife and I would go back and forth, she was always one that fixed everything. How did she fix everything? She stopped talking. And it's hard to fight with somebody that won't talk. Because she's like, I don't need all this. You understand what I'm saying? I had some issues in the early days, and I'm not afraid to tell you. I believe that when we're most transparent, we're most effective. You got it? You know, look, this December is 21 years later. You got it? I think we made it through all right. But what happens is, as you go through that, somebody has to stop and say, we cannot keep going. We cannot keep doing this. And watch this. That just means, watch this. Now, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes over and says, okay, how long y'all going to keep doing this? So now the Holy Spirit says, if I was you, I wouldn't say anything else. You got it? Even though the devil's still talking to him. Just don't say anything. Just calm down. You understand what I'm saying? And now it's going, but you can't keep fighting by yourself. Because think about it. Huh, what you going to do? Am I right about it? You can't fight nobody by yourself. Yeah. And so now everything calms down. And now, watch this, because what you don't understand, and that whole thing was, even though the devil was talking, the Holy Spirit was too. But because you don't know how to quiet down all the other voices and let him be the loudest voice in your life, you were going back and forth because you got caught up in your emotions when you should let your spirit man go forward. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen in here. You got it? And so now when you learn to quiet down all the voices, well, Pastor, I got anger issues. I feel you. You understand? I'm not upset. I got it. So for you, if you got an anger issue, then this is what you do. This might sound crazy, but I promise you it'll work. This is a day of technology. We've got our phones. Put notes in your phone. This is the plan of action the next time we get into it. You got it? And the next time we get into it, I'm going to pull that out. And in the first thing, the first seven things are going to say, stay calm, stay calm, stay calm. See, and you just have to keep doing that. If you got to count the 10 backwards, you understand what I'm saying? And then you got to see, you know you, and you know what triggers you. And so give you some instructions for how you are going to handle whatever it is that you're going through. Does that make sense? And now, watch this, now you're allowing the Holy Spirit. Because if you look at that thing long enough, Holy Spirit will start talking to you. And you'll move from that. You won't need that. That was just to help make sure you didn't, you know, go to red. You understand what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit will now be able to lead you and to guide you and to help you in that situation. Because watch this, at the end of the day, it's not the order of God that you have all this chaos. At the end of the day, it's the order of God that the fruit of the Spirit is in operation in your life. So even if we are in a disagreement, you got it, and we can't agree on some things, and there's certain times that we don't agree on a specific thing, but we agree to disagree. Does that make sense? You got, and so now we can agree to disagree and still go to lunch and still go shopping and still live the good life, and don't let the devil steal you of the good life that God has already provided for you. I could go home right there. That's all I got to do. I had a whole lot more notes, but they'll give you the 9 o'clock lesson. I think we need to put both lessons up. Yeah, yeah. So make a commitment. Okay, this is the thing. Oh, man, I don't know why I'm keeping going this way. But husband and wives, you ain't really fighting each other, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's what you got to understand. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So your spouse is not your enemy. Just look at me but say, my spouse is not my enemy. All right? And if you're single, still good for you to say it, because when you get married, you'll know my spouse is not my enemy. Yeah, because your spouse is not your enemy. And so when you understand that, you can now readily recognize, man, this is just the devil. He's just trying to throw a wrench in what God wants to do in our lives, because he knows that if we'll just come together in agreement and walk this word out, you got it, that God's going to do some amazing things, to the degree that we'll be able to share one day with everything we went through to help be a blessing to somebody else. And so just hang tight. Don't throw any vacuum cleaners. Don't throw any pots. Don't stop cooking. Don't have an I will if you will mentality. What do you mean? You know, I'll cook for him if he behaves. No. Cook for him anyways. You know, you stop cooking, then he at least walk in and say, you know, brother can't even bake up on a sandwich. You know what I mean? Forget grilled cheese. Can I get peanut butter and jelly? Can I just get something to eat? No. But this is what you do. You keep doing what the Word of God says you're supposed to do. You keep being the best husband or the best wife that God has called you to be. And you let the fruit of the Spirit in operation in your life, and then you watch how God will turn that thing around. Because it didn't take long. I mean, you know, and ladies here, she knows, you know, I ain't going to lie, period, but, you know, she's here. I mean, that was first, you know, couple months of our marriage. Because, you know, when you first come together, everything's crazy. Well, I shouldn't say everything's crazy, but, you know, it's different. It's different because, you know, I'm used to living a certain way. You got it. I vacuum my floor 3 times a day, always have lines in them. You understand? All my shirts, they get hung to the left with the buttons. You understand? Like, I just have issues. But it's okay because you have issues. All guys should have got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. Can I pray for marriages today? Yeah, yeah. If you happen to be with your spouse, grab their hand. If not, it's okay because the word and the Spirit, it travels. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you right now for every marriage represented. So even if the wife is here and the husband's not, or the husband's here and the wife is not, I just thank you for every marriage represented. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to attack marriages. So Satan, the Lord, rebuke you right now at the authority of the name of Jesus. And we curse strife. We curse envy. We curse unforgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus that the heart of the husband is turning toward the wife, and he will not change his mind anymore. I declare that the heart of the wife is turning toward the husband, and she will not change her mind anymore. I thank you, Father, that you are at the center of every marriage, and you're doing great things in the marriage. I thank you that communication is taking place, oh God. I thank you that consideration is taking place, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I curse and cancel every attack on the marriage right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare that what the devil meant for bad, that you're turning that thing around for good in the name of Jesus. And so I thank you for victorious reversals in marriages right now in the name of Jesus. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute